go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Peter Husey is one of the country's preeminent students of, observers of, and practitioners of national security policy. He is the president of Geostrategic Analysis, a senior fellow in national security affairs at the American Foreign Policy Council, and a senior defense consultant to the Air Force Association, among other incarnations. It's always a delight to have him with us to talk about some of his insights into particularly these challenging times and the threats that we face, particularly in this nuclear portfolio. Peter Husey, welcome back. Good to have you with us as always.
Thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You, again, have been a stalwart, Peter, in making the case that our nuclear deterrent remains critical to national security. You are challenged increasingly in doing so, not only by a government under Barack Obama that believes that, as I put it, we can and must rid the world of nuclear weapons, starting with ours, but also that we're now getting a lot of kibitzing in from people who formerly held high office, like former Secretary of Defense William Perry and the former commander of the Strategic Forces Command, General Cartwright, calling for vastly greater cuts, unilateral cuts at best, I can tell, in our deterrent capabilities. Give us a flavor of what arguments are being made and what the implications of such cuts might be, Peter.
Well, thank you, Frank. The arguments being made are of the following. It's the Cold War is over, so whatever we did in the Cold War is bad, which is not necessarily, of course, the case. The second thing is, for some reason, even though we've cut our nuclear weapons that we have in the field by 90%, as have the Russians on the strategic level, somehow that's not enough. We've gone from over 13,000 down to 1,550, that somehow, as General Habegger and General Cartwright, they've talked about a couple hundred warheads are enough to deter Russia and China. But they never lay out a strategy of, okay, how in the minds of the Russians and Chinese are they deterred with only a couple hundred warheads? And that apparently is the total number we have deployed. The number that are secure and can retaliate, you know, to survive a first strike, which is what you want to give the president. You don't want to force a president to, in a crisis, to start using stuff quickly. You're then down to about 80 or 100 at the most. So they don't lay out.
This is
what
under
it
the is plan. This is
to do
this
with
is not
weapons.
This is not the current state of affairs, but this is what they are recommending.
No. Yeah. Because
minimum deterrence, in other words.
Well, it's hard to even understand. First of all, Perry and Cartwright say get rid of Minuteman. That's 500. Targets close to, including the launch control centers, and then go to 8 submarines, of which 2 are going to be in and out of overhaul. So you're talking about 6 submarines. That means only 2 at sea, and that's it. And your total number of targets, even if you keep the bombers, you're talking about 5 discrete targets that if the bad guys go after, they can take us out of the nuclear business compared to 500. And as a high-ranking Air Force official who's retired told me the other day, said, why in the name of God are we trying to make it easy for the other guys to come attack us?
Are they talking about doing this in parallel with similar kinds of cuts in the nuclear forces of the Russians and, oh, by the way, the Chinese? Or are they talking literally about taking us down to this kind of low level of capability unilaterally?
Well, the comments you hear in the news stories that are written about this and some of their essays are that the United States could do this unilaterally, though it's unclear the extent to which they all would subscribe to such an idea. They also have this idea that, well, didn't the administration say we can go down to 1,000, but the evil Republicans won't let us do it because they want to do it as a treaty and Russia has to come down as well. But the question is, going down to that level means what about if the Chinese come up? Because we don't even know how many warheads the Chinese have, let alone engaging them in an arms control deal. So it's the emotional, what Uzi Rubin of Israel, my dear friend, calls fortune cookie analysis, is you get a bumper sticker, which is Global Zero, and then you make up the facts, or you kind of massage the facts and turn them into a pretzel to fit the agenda or narrative, which is, oh, we can go to lower levels because these don't mean anything. For example, they say nuclear weapons didn't stop 9/11. Well, either did the Coast Guard, either did the FBI, neither did the conventional forces, the armed forces, the immigration services. Nothing stopped 9/11. Not all attacks or threats to the United States can be dealt with by nuclear weapons, but the pre-1945, between then and the beginning of World War I, we had about 130 million people die from conventional war. Since 1945, in the nuclear age, there's been no major conflict between the nuclear-armed powers. There's been fights. There's been Korea. There's been Vietnam. There's been terrorism. There's guerrilla war in El Salvador and Colombia and Nicaragua and so forth. But major war between the adversaries, nuclear-armed adversaries, has not happened. And I believe it is absolutely, without a doubt, that that's due to our strong deterrent. And as Tom Reed, the former Secretary of the Air Force and Deputy National Security Advisor to President Reagan, said at a recent meeting, close to 24 countries have given up the search for nuclear weapons or given up getting them, in large part because of America's nuclear deterrent has their back. We call it the nuclear umbrella. And I think that's critical. And if you diminish that, as the South Koreans have said recently and the Japanese have said and others say, they're getting a little worried that we're not serious about protecting this business. And they're talking openly now about developing their own nuclear deterrent. And I don't think a world of having another 10 or 20 nuclear armed forces is what we need.
Especially, Peter Husey, in places like the Middle East, where we are watching, you know, the increasing collapse of whatever order there was there and a rising degree of tension between those who are engaged in proxy wars or those who are engaged in actual wars with others of their neighbors. And I just have to say, and Peter, we're going to probably have to wrap with this, but knowing what you do, and again, our guest is Peter Husey with Geostrategic Analysis, knowing what you do about the adversaries that we're facing, specifically the Russians and the Chinese, and you said we don't even have a clue how many warheads or weapons the Chinese have, but based on what we think is out there, and you throw on top of it, as we've been talking about with Fred Fleiss a short while ago, the North Koreans, and increasingly it will be the case, the Iranians, and perhaps other hostile powers. How would you characterize the kind of proposals that are being put forward now by these eminences calling for the unilateral disarmament of the United States to such frightfully low levels of force, especially as you put it in terms of the number of aim points that an enemy would have to attack to take it out?
Well, the Russians aren't going down any such levels. So we either do it unilaterally or all this is what, why are you doing this? There have been recent assessments of we're dealing with a world that is no longer bipolar U.S.-Russia or Soviet Union. We have other nuclear powers that we have no idea how they'd react in a serious crisis, whether China or North Korea. We have an Iran that in, 10 years is basically going to be free to enrich as much uranium as they want and build nuclear weapons. And the missiles they're building with North Korea's help to put the warheads on. So that's going to take some real hard thinking about the role of conventional forces, cyber, long-range prompt strike, and nuclear deterrence. Why would you take the top cover, which is your nuclear deterrent, shred it, and then kind of say, well, it'll all work out?
Peter, we're out of time. I have to let you go, I'm afraid. Hate to have to let you go, but I hope you'll be back with us again very soon. And the rest of you will join us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.